happiest living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. We really, really do appreciate it. As I said, 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything you are hearing this morning. Joining us now on the program, very pleased to bring the guy who responsible for a lot of what you've been hearing the last few days on this program from the Federation for American Immigration Reform, the president of the organization, Dan Stein, with us. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Really glad to be with you.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I know it's been a busy couple of days, but talk about this event, and this is something really unique to you guys, but I think it's brilliant. Actually, I think it's brilliant because I'm a talk radio show host, but I do think it does realize kind of the untapped potential of talk radio and getting your message across and talking about, I mean, it's easy just to, you know, be up and outraged about the pictures at the border, and certainly that's cause for concern, but you need to have a deeper understanding and how it's not necessarily as compassionate just to have open borders, that there are consequences that have real human impacts later on down the line.
Well, yeah, and because immigration is a federal government responsibility, you know, the experts around the country are pretty hard to find on a local level who actually study this issue in enough detail or have that real-world experience on the border. And so this event tries to bring together a lot of the people who really know what's going on and bring them to some of the most engaged and active and knowledgeable listeners, which is talk radio around the country.
And it's an important issue to a lot of the listeners, but you don't get a lot of good information about it. I mean, sometimes you get, like I said, the pictures allow people to draw their own conclusions. But I still think that what's really missing from the discussion, and we have a lot of these discussions from time to time, but understanding, like, what it does to labor markets and wages, what it does, the burden it puts on society and the education sector and the healthcare sector, even infrastructure. You go to Los Angeles now, the roads and bridges there are overtaxed because you just have more people. Why do you have more people? Because of immigration policy. Then all these things are sort of interconnected that do have a direct impact on our lives.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you think about understanding immigration is about understanding communication between networks and people. The people who come have a very good idea what the U.S. policies are. They know when they change. They know what they're going to expect when they get here. That's why they make the effort to come. That's why they try to come. And the policies the Biden administration put in place after he took office sent a very clear signal around the world. You get here, you're going to be processed. You're going to be given work documents, released, a hearing date, maybe years down the line. No questions asked. You disappear. Maybe you show up for that hearing. Maybe you don't. Who's going to deport you? Meantime, they push a mass amnesty. And, you know, our national politicians either lie to us or they tell us we need comprehensive immigration reform and solutions, like this spokesperson for Biden now says. We've been ready on day one for a bill to fix the problem. Well, no, they don't want to fix the problem. They just want an amnesty to move people into the voting booth and not really do anything to solve the problem, which is hemorrhaging of illegal aliens pouring into the country. And this suspension of a willingness to enforce the law. I mean, why do people want to come here? Well, they believe that in impartial justice, the law is enforced in an even-handed way. So why should one group of people get to jump the line, cheat the system, and get an advantage? And then people who disagree are being called un-American by Biden, right? Well, isn't the American way what's called fairness?
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, though, why even have legal immigration? The path of least resistance, the chosen way to get here. And there's a lot of hurdles. You're waiting in line. It's your turn to come here. There's a lot involved in that process. They make it very difficult. It's very hard. It's government. Well, I'll just go walk across the border, get apprehended, released. And then maybe someday there'll be a blanket amnesty. It's almost like the moral hazard of like student loans, right? They're just going to forgive it someday, so I'm just going to take out a bunch of loans. But it's the same sort of thought process. The consequences really don't justify me going through the going and doing it the right way anymore.
Well, we were always nervous about an unprincipled president who might do what Biden has done, which is just to open the borders, forget the law. I mean, what's happening is essentially it's a fraud on the American people, total fraud. The whole system has become a fraud. Anybody who believes that the rule of law matters in immigration believes the border is secure. Maybe you believe Biden was legitimately elected, so you believe the border was secure. Whatever your rationale is. I mean, it's, what's new is to have politicians who just simply go there and say things that are just patently absurd and untrue. They are fed positive reinforcement by a client legacy media that doesn't apparently question them when they do these things. So by reinforcing that, they just continue to do it. But fortunately, there's so many, I mean, politicians who misjudge the intelligence of the average American have generally not been successful. P.T. Barnum would disagree, but most people, historically, you see that. Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, they lost elections because of they lost control of immigration. And certainly the Mario Boatlift in May of 1980 was an example. Biden ignores all the lessons of history. Guy was in Senate forever, but he never actually ran anything. He's no executive experience. You elect a president who has no executive experience, and this is what happens. And the worst part is, Biden is so stupid. Okay, he dismantled the system in front of everybody in plain view. So nobody can argue that he didn't create the crisis or sabotage the system. A more intelligent politician would be more clever in disguising what he's doing. Now our big concern is, in the next 23-24 period, they're going to start naturalizing aliens who are not eligible just solely to try to influence the 2024 election.
Well, and then that's the fear, right? You have this unholy alliance between big business, who are big agriculture or big whatever, that sees this as a way to keep wages in the spirit of what's in the interest of their shareholders. I mean, we can debate that, but that seems to be the intention there with Democratic politicians that see a future voter base, and that's a tough duo to defeat.
Agriculture has been a real raspberry seed in our wisdom teeth for a long time, because they're looking at this from the micro status of their own fields and needing to get the crops harvested. The problem is, if they use illegal labor, that labor eventually goes to the cities, winds up bringing kids up and put them in schools, hospitals, healthcare, the whole nine yards. They think they're getting cheap labor as the, you know, they all show up on the truck and jump off on, you know, 24 hours notice. But over time, you're actually getting people who have all the needs and obligations on taxpayers to pay for this kind of so-called lost cost labor. It would be much cheaper, frankly, for taxpayers and Americans to subsidize agricultural labor or introduce robotics to get Americans to do the work. They say, well, they're not going to work at the wages we pay. Well, that's probably true. It would cost a lot more to get Americans to go out there and do the work, but it would be worth it because it would save the country a lot more, and it would frankly leave us a country that's livable and worth living in. Because if you're adding tens of millions to your population all the time without any plan for your education, your hospitals, your infrastructure, your roads, right? I mean, Biden says he wants to cut carbon emissions, but he keeps bringing in more carbon emitters walking across the border. And they say for every four American births now, Breitbart reported this, there's three aliens coming into the country.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously the Democrats, we've all heard this, what their agenda is. They don't know exactly what they're trying to create. They just know they're trying to tear down, destroy, and eliminate what was. And some of us like some of the things that what were, right? We like the principles of free speech and free markets.
But that makes you a racist, or that makes you some kind of bigot. I mean, that's what they throw at people who believe in these kind of, like, the keeping the culture where it was, right?
It
and that's what they do. Demagogue.
Unfortunately, what we have to deal with is an education problem. Americans know something's wrong. They know that we have a cultural history that we can be proud of, that whether it's right to trial by jury, Fourth Amendment search and seizure, innocent until proven guilty, having evidence before you bring something to trial, you know, habeas corpus. They know all these things. They know you don't deploy law enforcement resources to just attack and harass your political enemies or empower a partisan committee to uncork legislative investigative powers with no legislative agenda to harass your political opponents. They know that as a democracy, we have to have a mutual interest in one another's welfare. And if you have divisions where no longer one party sees the other party as even legitimate, much less concerned with their welfare, democracy will not be sustained. That's the real threat to democracy. Not that state legislatures are ignored in the voting process, and at the last minute they change the system to make it easy to, you know, ballot harvest.
Yeah, like what happened in Pennsylvania. But back to immigration, when we talk about that, and you know, do we have a system that we talk about this all the time, that people will pay the, and I use this example in the last segment, it's maybe a little tired by now, but just willing to pay the value of our produce, right? That we got cheap and plentiful food here, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to pay a little more at the grocery store, but maybe you don't realize by doing so.
Well, we're paying a lot more for groceries because of government spending.
Right, but on the other side of that, beyond inflation, that you're not going to have that toll it takes on all of the aspects of, like I said, the healthcare, education, you know, the infrastructure, et cetera.
Well, if people actually had to pay the cost
right.
of using cheap foreign labor,
yeah.
they would realize it's not... We don't pay, honestly, the cost of all these programs we've embarked upon. That's why we have a $32 trillion national debt. You can't run programs. If our politics have been enabled by having reserve currency status that has deluded us into the idea that we can print money indefinitely and not destroy the value of the dollar. And that kind of thinking is part of why we have out-of-control immigration. We can be all things to all people. You have to use... The concept of respecting your limits and resources, fiscal prudence, pay your own way. I mean, not going to excessive debt. These are principles of good governance. And we need to get back to those principles if we're going to have a society. Immigration can be beneficial, but at a much lower level, maybe 300,000 a year. If you bring an alien in because that person has needed skills, they bring in spouse, unmarried, minor children, and that is it. You don't bring in all your relatives, can't bring in uncles and aunts and all that nonsense. It's just, you want to go back, you got to fly back home to visit them, because the U.S. basically is full, okay? We have all the people we need, and we don't, and when you have mass population growth without calculating the burdens on infrastructure, you wind up what we have today, which is impossible commutes, overburdened highways, schools that are dysfunctional, not delivering effectively. Then apparently the left, which has its grip on power now, wants this. They seem to want a society that is crumbling and dysfunctional in order to reimpose some socially engineered perfect society that they themselves will, when they get around to telling us, engineer.
Well, it's just not obtainable, though. It's like, you know...
It's a fantasy.
Yeah. We're joined by Dan Stein from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Dan, election coming up. We've seen this play before. Republicans are already making all kinds of promises here. I got like a placard here, yeah, talking about immigration policy and what they're going to do. But I guess the point is... I'm very skeptical that much could change. Maybe. What are you optimistic that at least Republicans would try to use the power of the purse or power of the subpoena or do something to at least pump the brakes on the Alejandro Mayorkas era of immigration in America?
Well, you know, the Democrats need to be careful about what they're, you know, the sowing the seeds of the wind, and they will reap the whirlwind, because... If Republicans engage in the kind of tactics that we've seen for the last couple of years, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable for Joe Biden and his family, certainly 2023, 24, and not be able to get anything done because he's got so many subpoenas and the investigations
right.
are so multiplied. And on immigration, if the Republicans take the House, they clearly can do something Democrats don't do, which is aggressive oversight, which at least provides some sunshine in the process. I'm sure they would start impeachment proceedings against Alejandro Mayorkas, and DHS secretary, because he's clearly violated his oath of office and public trust. This is incredibly important to do. This can't stand. The ACLU, under a contrary scenario, would have filed thousands of lawsuits by now. But unfortunately, it's much more difficult for our side to file lawsuits. We have done it, and we work with states to do that, particularly Florida, Arizona, Texas. And we've had some success in the courts. But the problem is when somebody just says, I'm not going to enforce the law and just let people run into the country, very hard to get courts to provide what they call legal standing to hear the case.
Right.
So it's an unfair match in the sense of who can use the courts and who can't. That's why Mayorkas gets away with what he gets away with. Obama started this nonsense in 2012 with DACA. So the precedent of having a president who just lets the borders fall out of control for partisan purposes is extremely dangerous. It's because I say with 1.5 billion people wanting to move here, what we see now is really a trickle of what could come across that border unless something pretty dramatic changes.
Well, you mentioned mayors. What about, do you go all the way to the top with Biden? I know that Ted Cruz said that if they're going to impeach Joe Biden, that it ought to be on the grounds of impeachment on immigration, that the Congress has these statutes and these laws. It's sort of the same thing they went after Trump over with the silly Ukraine impeachment. But they that if Congress passes a law, then the executive must follow suit. And clearly what's going on at the border now is not going on the way Congress had intended. And therefore, that is grounds for impeachment, according to some.
Well, Biden took an oath of office to uphold the laws and Constitution of the United States. He's not doing that. And it's clearly impeachable. I mean, think about it in terms of federal government has limited but very important powers. National defense, foreign policy, border security, border control, guaranteeing the states a Republican form of government, right? Well, if you'd had a president who wouldn't deploy the military to defend Alabama, okay, against foreign invasion,
right,
that would be impeachable. If you have a president who will not defend this country's borders, similarly, that is impeachable. Biden is egregiously abusing his power and turning us into a tyranny. Congress can pass all the laws in the world that say this alien and that alien cannot come in. If Mayorkas and Department of Homeland Security don't care what the law says, what do you do?
Well, and I guess, you know, obviously a successful impeachment with a conviction of removal, probably a long, 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 long shot. But if anything, you're going to get... you're going to force the national media to have to talk about it. And you'll have a little bit of investigative powers that you can look into what is going on behind some of the decision-making here. Is it, you know, are we defying law for political purposes? Or what's going on here? I mean, that's kind of a necessary component,
if
right?
If you look at the real-world impacts of uncontrolled immigration on everything Americans care about, surely it's impossible to defend the proposition that Biden should be allowed to remain in office. The downside is that it's the policy of the administration that's in place and not Biden's own personal conduct, in the sense that, let's say you impeach and convict, who's taken his place?
Right. Well,
we're Stalin Harris, who, you know, our borders are. Which, I mean, so what are you ultimately accomplishing, right? So I mean, in the end, politically, unfortunately, our system provides limited numbers of opportunities to really make a difference in this kind of scenario. But certainly the ballot box is important, making your voice heard, understanding immigration, understanding why what's happening is happening. Trump did things that worked. Remain in Mexico, mandatory detention, cooperative agreements with the Northern Triangle countries, stopping asylum fraud, and not just paroling people in just on their word. Trying to fix the immigration court system, saying if you don't play by the rules, you don't get to come in. If you break the rules, you're not going to get a green card. You know, you incentivize compliance with the law. There are solutions. FAIR has those solutions to actually make immigration work and bring the numbers down and give us some kind of a respite. That's why we need the American people to support FAIR.
Hey, folks want to find out more about FAIR. Tell them where they can look.
That's fairus.org, fairus.org. Federation for American Immigration Reform, been around for 40 years. We really play a major role in stopping the mass amnesties that the Dems are pushing constantly. We've been very proud of the fact that we've been able to hold the line as the billions of people around the world have clamored to come here. It would be much worse if we weren't out here fighting this fight. Trust me.
As we got to get a break in here, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Plourde Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Tennessee, so won't you bury me in Dixie?